Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It's time now for Light for the Pathway with W.A. Thompson.
And once again, we greet you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our Savior. He is the only Savior of the world. Are you having your personal devotions, time in the Lord's Word, a time in prayer? Are you witnessing, reaching out to others? If you don't have your life being given over to the service of the Lord, then you become a person who becomes critical and of others. You find yourself also drying up on the vine, so to speak. A vine that is pruned produces. One that is not pruned grows wild and has all of the sucker vines and branches that grow on and take away from the possibility of producing an abundance of fruit. Let's be faithful in having our time of devotions to the Lord. Have a time of witnessing for the Lord. Say, I'm very uncomfortable. Well, you go ahead and do what you can. Ask the Lord to help you and put a gospel tract out. Give the word of God to someone. Encourage someone in the way. You know, we can be stubborn in our work, in our service. Sometimes we can be stubborn. I read this, that a stubborn person doesn't hold opinions. Those opinions hold the person. And if a person is unreasonable, you're not going to get anywhere with them. Unreasonable. They are blinded to the fact that they are being narrow-minded in things that have no soundness to them. But because they have made the statement, they have believed the statement, and they believe everybody else ought to be with them and believe as they do. Well, that is the way it is with the stubborn person. The stubborn, obstinate person doesn't want to reason. He will not allow for the possibility that he or she is wrong, that they must be right because they said it. And the statement goes, there are two ways to do things, the wrong way and the army's way. I was never in the army, but I've heard people make that statement, and that there's only one right way to do it, and that's the army's way when you're in the army. Well, there are people who have their own army, and they will say that you have to do it my way. And, you know, you don't have to train people to quit. You don't have to train people to be selfish. We are born that way. And if you're selfish, if you're stubborn, you still have the old nature ruling in your life. Little children, whenever they can't get their way, they're willing to say, I'll take my toys and I'll go home. And that's selfishness. And there are many who never grow out of that because they don't get things exactly the way they want them. They won't show up at church. They won't give to other causes. They won't help the other person. And they fail to see the work of the Lord ahead. It's their way or no way. The stubborn person, as someone else said, that the stubborn person is a person who abandons reason. They become stubborn, and the deeper they are in their error, the more angry they become with others who don't agree with them. The deeper they are in their error. But they won't see their position as error. They'll see the whole world wrong. And they search for people who will agree with them. They'll go through 1,644 people. And then they'll find one that agree with them. They'll say, I knew I was right all the time. And all the rest of them have said, you're wrong. That's the way the stubborn person is. Doesn't take much to make him right. But that's stubbornness, unreasonable. May the Lord help us not to be so. Heavenly Father, help us to be good people, reasonable on the things that there can be reason, but immovable on those truths for Jesus' sake. Amen. Let's continue today in looking in the scriptures at the 30th verse of Exodus 32. After Moses has come down from the mount, he has rebuked the people, rebuked Aaron, and their judgment has fallen upon those who were in sin. In verse 30 of Exodus 32, "And it came to pass on the morrow that Moses said unto the people, Ye have sinned a great sin, and now I will go up unto the Lord. Peradventure I shall make an atonement for your sin." Now, he does not let them get away without letting them know of the error that they have committed. You've committed a great sin. He confronts them. Now, they will have to confess their sin God's way. Moses could have said, "Well, you know, you people are really, you know, you something is wrong here, and will or something is not quite right. I don't really know what it is." But no, he went on to tell them that they had committed a great sin. And sin is an offense to God. You failed to please the Lord. You've offended a holy God. Now he says, because he knows that this was done against the Lord. "Now I will go up unto the Lord. Peradventure I shall make an atonement for your sin. I shall make a covering, offering for your sin." That was his desire. He was the great intercessor and was concerned about what mattered to God and wanted people not to offend God. And so he is now ready to go up. And this matter of the atonement was, it meant to purge away, to pacify. You see, the word propitiation tells us that the Lord is no longer angry with us anymore as we are in Christ, because Christ is our satisfaction to God. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, even these who had sinned in Exodus chapter 32 had sinned against God, and the Lord is still willing to receive them unto himself based upon that which is about to be done. He loves and he delights in showing mercy. He had told Moses that his wrath was going to wax hot and he would destroy the people. And Moses interceded, pleaded to the Lord for the people. And this word, make an atonement, kafar, to cover, to purge, to make reconciliation, to cover over with pitch, pitch being, of course, black, indicates that this was not something that would allow sight to penetrate and to see that which was concealed or covered. To cover over, that was what Moses wanted to do for the sins. "I will see," as he said in verse 30, "I will, peradventure, I shall make an atonement for your sin." Now, in order for Moses to do this, he himself had to be rightly related to the Lord. Now, he had just dealt with sin and had done so very harshly. That's the way sin must be addressed. You don't conceal sin. The way sin must be addressed is to bring it to the forefront, bring it to the open, expose sin to the light of God's truth, and side with God what God says about the sin. Moses returns to the Lord and said, "Oh, this people have sinned a great sin and have made them gods of gold." He states what the sin was. He names the sin. "Yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sin." And notice in your Bible, there is a pause there. As one great Bible teacher said, that when Moses came to this part, "Yet now," so he goes back up to intercede, to plead to the Lord for the people. Verse 32, "Yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sin." And this Bible teacher said, it's as though Moses choked for a moment, swallowed, made the statement, "And if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book which thou hast written. Notice something here about this. Moses had been with the Lord, and Moses does not look lightly upon sin. Moses was one who had been in the very presence of the Lord God himself. But it's strange to me that people who claim to know the Lord the most are the ones who lightly regard sin, and they fail to see that God's holiness has been encroached upon, but his holiness will not be violated. He has made the statement, this is the way it's going to be. And to go anyway, contrary to what the Lord has stated is acceptable, is going to be sin. And so Moses, having seen the Lord, having been with the Lord, seeing the glory of the Lord rather than seeing him himself, he knew what God required, and he knew that God would not violate his holiness. And so that's why he makes the statement, and if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book which thou hast written. The Lord had said that he was going to blot out the whole nation one time, and Moses was willing to intercede and tell the Lord not to do that. But now, in order to save, to spare the entire nation, he is willing to say, Lord, have mercy on these people. And if my life would nullify the wrath of God or appease the wrath of God, is the better word, then so do it, Lord. Blot me, he said, I pray thee, out of thy book. How many of us have ever prayed a prayer like that in behalf of a sinning loved one? Now, these were of the same nation, same people of the Lord. And Moses was concerned about them. And he asked that there might be mercy shown, that the Lord would not deal with them as they deserve to be dealt with. I'm so thankful the Lord Jesus has pleaded our cause on this level. He has pleaded our cause. The word, a matter of blotting us out or blotting out our sin, he could have blotted us out, but instead he chose to blot out our sin by his precious blood, to blot it out of his book, to hide it behind his back, to cast it as far as the east is from the west. The Lord Jesus Christ has satisfied the holy wrath of a holy God. That's where our sins have been paid for in full on the cross. God poured out his wrath in full upon Christ that day when Christ was offering up himself without spot unto God. He himself paid for it in full. So, he didn't take a shortcut, nor should we take a shortcut in looking at our sin. See it as God sees it, and God will hear. God will help. God will heal the soul, the sin-sick soul, because of the work of Christ on the cross. Look to the cross, and there you will find peace with God. Our Heavenly Father, I do ask in Jesus' name and through the blood of Christ that this message today has helped some soul to bear the burden of sin, to be delivered from the accusations of their soul, for Christ's sake. Amen.